Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington, with a program that will help you learn and improve your American English. Today, we continue to look at the situation in Ukraine. The country's former president was recently overthrown, and many think corruption was at the center of his downfall. We will provide details. And then, bang! Not just any bang, but the biggest ever. We'll explore what may have happened billions of years ago when our universe first came into being. The program is called As It Is, and we are coming your way from VOA. Many Ukrainians and foreign observers say the government of ousted President Viktor Yanukovych was extremely corrupt. He and his aides are said to have taken billions of dollars in public money. The country is now in bad financial shape. Milagros Ardin looks at some of the issues Ukraine faces on the road to recovery.
Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych fled the country in late February. Since then, people have come to visit his richly equipped home and estate near the capital, Kiev. They got an eyeful, a huge house built from pieces of wood and set on 137 hectares of land. The property has been valued at more than $75 million. Reports say improvements to the dining hall and a tea room alone cost $2.3 million. The estate began as a property of the state. President Yanukovych turned it into a private home, and many Ukrainians believe he paid for everything by stealing and through corruption. Many also accuse him of letting close friends rob the country. Anders Asland is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says the amount of money taken is unbelievable.
Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk has mentioned $37 billion as the total amount of loot of the Yanukovych regime. That, of course, includes also other members of the regime that are not considered members of the family, such as Andrei Kluyev and Boris Kolesnikov. You can look upon the Ukrainian government under President Yanukovych as an organized crime syndicate. And a major purpose of this syndicate was to loot as much money as possible from the government.
Ukraine's new government is working with the United States, the European Union, and others. It wants to block the use of money and property connected to Mr. Yanukovych and his aides. The hope is that some of what was stolen can be recovered. Some groups say the West is partly to blame for Ukraine's financial losses and must take responsibility for it. Nathaniel Heller works for Global Integrity, an independent nonprofit group.
To ignore the role that financial institutions in the West, that multilateral institutions play, I think is just seeing the glass, you know, not just half full, but sort of seeing only half of the glass.
As Ukraine struggles with both economic and political crises, Anders Asland suggests two ways Western lawmakers can help.
The easy thing is to introduce a law on competitive tenders for public procurement. You need to clean up the gas industry, which has been the main herd of corruption throughout, which means to adjust gas prices in all at all levels to the market level or cost recovery level.
He and others say reform is also needed in Ukraine's legal system, which is widely believed to suffer from corruption. For laws to have real teeth in them, they say, judges must be willing to punish people who take money from the state. I'm Milagros Ardin.
Look up at the night sky. You will see stars, stars, more stars, and planets, and things that are greater than a human mind can understand. How did it all come to be? And when? These are perhaps the most puzzling questions we will ever ask, with what may be an answer, or at least part of the answer, is our newest team member, Jonathan Evans.
Scientists say they have discovered evidence of what caused a huge explosion billions of years ago. The discovery provides firm support for the most popular scientific idea of how the universe began. It is called the Big Bang Theory. The new research provides the first strong evidence that the universe expanded quickly in its first moments of existence. Scientists are calling this period inflation. Experts say the research may be one of the most important discoveries in the history of science. Max Tegmark is a physicist at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He says this is the kind of discovery that wins Nobel Prizes.
I think this is going to go down, if it stands the test of time, as one of the greatest discoveries in the entire history of science. And I really don't say that lightly.
This sudden rate of growth left gravitational waves in space. Albert Einstein had predicted the existence of such waves, but none have been observed until now. Mark Kamienkowski is an astronomer at Johns Hopkins University in Maryland. He says scientists do not know what the force was that drove those waves.
One of the reasons why this discovery is exciting is because inflation does require that there's some new fundamental physics beyond the four forces that we know about.
Michael Turner is with the University of Chicago in Illinois. He describes this force as the dynamite behind the Big Bang. He believes it may be the force that unifies gravity, which acts on everything we see, and quantum mechanics, which governs the world of subatomic particles.
We see a link between them. And the question is, can we figure out the theory of everything? Can we put it all together?
He adds that nearly 14 billion years after the Big Bang, evidence of inflation could not be easily found.
Looking for the gravity waves from inflation by many was called folly or chasing a wild goose.
The Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics led the group of researchers who made the discovery. They worked at a radio telescope in Antarctica at the South Pole. The air at the South Pole is dry, and there is little human interference. The researchers examined the background radiation of the universe. They suspect this is the last sign of energy from the Big Bang. They found a turning, twisting pattern in the extremely small differences in radiation levels. The scientists say these variations mark the movement of gravity waves. The research has yet to be published in a scientific journal. Experts who have seen the evidence say the findings are interesting, but that other scientists will need to confirm it. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is As It Is on VOA.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. American Bill Gates is known around the world as founder and former chairman of Microsoft Corporation. He now serves as co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The private foundation is working to end deadly diseases and poverty. Recently, Bill Gates spoke about the importance of philanthropy, the custom of giving time and money to help other people. He says philanthropy depends on innovation or new ideas for best results. Mr. Gates spoke during a visit to the American Enterprise Institute in Washington. He said his philanthropic work centers on problems that governments cannot solve effectively.
There are things in terms of trying out social programs in innovative ways that government is just, because of the way the job incentives work, they're not going to try out new designs like philanthropy can. And they're not going to have volunteer hours coming in to leverage their resources like philanthropy can.
Bill Gates said charitable giving is very important in America. One example is the university system. He said universities produce highly trained professionals who then give financial support to universities. He also said that in the United States, privately funded organizations create inventions that government cannot. He also spoke about the March of Dimes Foundation and its campaign to end polio. The foundation, he said, has paid for the development of 2 polio vaccines. Medical researcher Jonah Salk developed the first vaccine. Albert Sabin later created an oral vaccine. At the event, Mr. Gates held up one of the vaccines to show how small a treatment is.
This is the oral polio vaccine. That's 10 doses, and this thing costs $1.30, so 13 cents per kid.
In 2012, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave away $3.4 billion. The money went to support health research, education, and development programs in the United States and around the world. But Mr. Gates noted that philanthropy cannot provide the wider improvements in areas such as public health, education, and employment. Governments, he said, were designed to serve the whole population.
When you want to give every child in America a good education or make sure they're not starving, that's got to be government, because philanthropy isn't there day in and day out serving the entire population. It's just not of the scale or the design to do that.
Philanthropy, Bill Gates said, needs research and innovation to seek answers to society's problems. But it is government's part to work for a better society. And that's the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic. From VOA Learning English, I'm June Sims. Today on the show, a little history of one of the most popular pieces of clothing in America. Then, some music to go along with it. But first, we go to New York City to check out a new off-Broadway play. Kung Fu is the name of a new play about America's most famous martial artist, the late actor Bruce Lee. Playwright David Henry Wong centered his work on Lee's young adulthood. Marcia James tells us more about the play at the Signature Theater.
Bruce Lee became an actor as a young child. He also studied dance and the Chinese fighting style, Kung Fu, while growing up in Hong Kong. He was an expert in both by his teen years. At that time, he returned to the United States, the country of his birth. Lee worked as a dance and kung fu teacher in Seattle, Washington, during college. Playwright David Henry Wong represents that period of Bruce Lee's life in his play, Kung Fu. Mr. Wong says he first tried to write the play as a musical, but he says dance pieces worked better than songs in the story.
It's got 17 dance numbers, a lot of fighting, and this is something that really I don't think has been done before, at least in America, which is to create what I'm calling a dancical, a show which is a combination of drama and dance.
Mr. Wong is best known for his plays M. Butterfly and Golden Child. Like those works, Kung Fu is concerned with questions of Asian American identity and prejudice. As a young actor in Hollywood, Bruce Lee found himself offered only small, racially predictable parts. Wong represents these experiences in a scene where Lee talks to a television producer. The producer wants him to play Kato in the superhero series The Green Hornet.
Every time I see the bowing, scraping Chinaman with the long pigtail, I want to smash the TV.
I agree. The way Oriental people are portrayed by Hollywood, villains, enemy soldiers, comic relief, it makes me sick. In my project, you would play a completely different kind of character.
The hero.
Well, he works with the hero. And he's a hero too.
Kato, of course, was not the hero, but the assistant to the hero, the Green Hornet. Kato is a martial artist in the series and the part made Lee famous in the U.S. and Hong Kong. But David Henry Wong says Bruce Lee still did not receive offers for lead actor roles.
As talented and as amazing as he was, wasn't able to break the glass ceiling in American entertainment. And a lot of the second act of the play is about his struggles trying to get work as an actor in America. And at the end of the show, he finally realizes that it's not going to happen for him in America, and he decides to go back to Hong Kong, where he will eventually make the pictures that establish him as the star that we know today.
The play ends before Lee gains stardom in the martial arts action movies that he filmed in Hong Kong in 1971 and 1972. Bruce Lee died of a brain swelling the following year at the age of 32. His first big Hollywood film, Enter the Dragon, was released a short time after. Some critics say Kung Fu is not an exciting drama, but almost all have praised its dance sequences.
Blue jean, you got a camouflage face. What defines American clothing or fashion? Can you think of a piece of clothing that is inseparably linked to American culture? There is a good chance your answer would be blue jeans. Many listeners have written to ask about the history of these well-loved pants. So, today, we will give it a try. Levi Strauss did not invent jeans, but he is considered the first person to make and sell great numbers of them. He was born in Bavaria, an area that today is part of Germany. In 1847, he and his family immigrated to the United States. Levi Strauss opened a small dry goods store, first in New York, then in San Francisco, California. Among the products he sold were jeans. These pants were especially useful for miners in California. They needed clothing made from a strong material. Jeans are usually made from a heavy cotton cloth called denim. Levi Strauss partnered with a clothing maker named Jacob Davis. Davis had invented a process for making rivets for jeans. These little metal connectors helped hold the pieces of cloth together to make the jeans stronger. In 1873, the government gave Strauss and Davis a patent for their invention. That meant no one else could legally copy it without their permission. They began producing what they called copper riveted waist overalls. In 1928, the Levi Strauss Company registered the word Levi's as a trademark for their product. The Smithsonian's National Museum of American History in Washington has one of the oldest known pairs of Levi's. Writer James Sullivan published a book called Jeans, A Cultural History of an American Icon. In it, he says jeans represent two American values, creativity and rebellion. Cowboys wore jeans in the old Wild West. In the 1950s, people saw famous Hollywood actors like James Dean and Marlon Brando wearing jeans in movies. Today, jeans still come in blue, but also lots of other colors. They can also differ widely in price. You might find jeans for $15 in an American discount store. However, they can also sell for thousands of dollars a pair. Some people like to buy jeans that look fresh and new. Others like to buy new jeans that are torn and look old. What kind of jeans do you like? Let us know. Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com.
Money talks, but it don't sing and dance and it don't walk. As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans. Honey's sweet, but it ain't nothing next to baby's treat. And if you pardon me, I'd like to say we'd do okay forever in blue jeans.
That is the famous 1979 song Forever in Blue Jeans from American singer-songwriter Neil Diamond. It was a top 20 single on Billboard music charts back then and is still popular today. There are lots of other songs about blue jeans. Christopher Cruz plays a few of them for us.
Blue jean, baby, with your big blue eyes. Don't want you looking at other guys. Got to make you give me one more chance.
I can't keep still, so baby, let's dance. Well, the blue jean bop is the bop for me. Well, it's the pop, it's a dungaree, dungaree. You dip your hip, free your knee, squeal on your heel, baby, one, two, three. Well, the blue jean bop, blue jean bop, baby, blue jean bop, blue jean bop, baby, blue jean bop, baby, won't you bop a jean? Bop, you can bop!
Early rock and roller Gene Vincent released Blue Jean Bop in 1956. The energetic song includes a line with the word dungaree. That is another way of saying blue jeans. It is an old Hindi word meaning coarse calico or denim. The word came from the name of a village in what is now Mumbai.
Looking good, plenty time.
That is Ginuwine with In Those Jeans from his 2003 album, The Senior. The song is all about how good a pair of jeans look on a girl. In fact, so good, it might be painful. He sings, make a thug want to cry something terrible.
You wore these jeans, girl, you wore these jeans, and you made a thug wanna cry something terrible. I had to have you for myself, baby. You don't know what those jeans do to me, make me wanna get down on one knee. You've got that thunder, and it only makes me wonder how it feels to get up in those jeans. Come on,
looking good, plenty tight, is there room?
Years ago, singer-songwriter Lana Del Rey released a sexy song called Blue Jeans. She performed the song on the television show Saturday Night Live. Many media experts sharply criticized her performance and questioned her ability to sing, but she received good reviews in later performances. We leave you with Lana Del Rey and Blue Jeans.
Blue jeans, white shirt. Walked into the room, you know you made my eyes burn. It was like James Dean, for sure. You're so fresh to death and sick as cancer. You're so punk rock, I grew up on hip hop. You fit me better than my favorite sweater. And I know that love is me.
June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. You can also visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. to find transcripts and audio of our shows. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.